I enjoy poetry that I can read, I'll say. I enjoy beautiful songs, words of them. I enjoy beautiful sentiments. What a wonderful thing and a solace they are to my heart and mind. I love that song. But by the grace of God, I want it to be more than that. I want it to be the very purpose of my heart. I'm by the grace of God. I don't plan on turning loose. So thank you for having that song. I think it was very, very appropriate and beautiful. But oh, let's each one of us strive. Lord, not just those words, but may they be the very purpose of my heart. Never to turn back. Never to look another way. Appreciate God loving you and me. That is the greatest of all. God is love. I wrote on the chalkboard or the marking board little abbreviations that we're probably all aware of. ASAP stands for as soon as possible. And I'd like to talk about four things that people, mankind, just ought to do as soon as possible. Without tarrying, without delay, right on, right now, at this point in this time. And I'd like for God's Word to challenge you and me today if any of these things that we mention, and I know as we preach this message, there are others that could be spoken of, but the Lord impressed me with four things that I believe are critical. Well, I know the Bible says they are. That you and me would look in our own life and find out if they're there. And you may think that because they're so fundamental and so knowledgeable, that we're knowledgeable of them, that every one of us here today would have already taken care of it as soon as possible. Over in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, Paul wrote to the folks there, and he had this word to say to them. 6th chapter and the 2nd verse. For he said, and he was quoting Isaiah, I believe, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored you, have I helped you, have I extended myself to you. Of course you can't do it, was the admonition, but God can, and He wants to succor us. And He has heard us, been made aware of us, and extended Himself to us to help us or succor us. In the day of salvation, in the day of the bringing in of the good, holy gospel, good news of Jesus Christ. In this day I have succored you, and behold, be aware of this. Look at what's at hand right now. I take note, listen, the trumpet sounds. The herald has gone forth. The word of God is full and rich, and every one of you have a copy in your home. Behold, look at this, now is the day of salvation. Now, right here and today, not yesterday and not necessarily tomorrow, not in another age to come, but right now. Paul exhorts us to recognize the Lord is in a position or in a mindset or in a great love affair with us to succor us. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, I believe he said, now is the day. And I think a little word definition here might be in order. Now, word we use quite often. And believe in this meaning and context that Paul said it, the present time, at this moment. This present time and at this moment is the day of salvation. Now, he did not break salvation down into its different facets. He said, today is the day of salvation. Full. All that is possible under the dispensation of grace. Now is the day. Jesus has come. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus has ascended back to the Father. The Holy Ghost has been sent. The day of Pentecost has arrived and it has gone now. Now, today, for you and me, is the day of salvation. So it's the present time. This word now also means immediately, at once. And that begins my mind to thinking that you and me recognize there are things God has put forth in the world or in His grace, if you will, or in the dispensation of the gospel, is that He wants it to command our immediate attention. You know, one of the things that befell the people that the seed of the Word fell on was the cares of this life. Now, folks, I'll never be one to tell you that you're not going to get busy in life and you don't have things to do. But there are things God expects you and me to take care of ASAP, as soon as possible. He encourages us, warns us not to put off and not to neglect this great salvation. How shall we escape the perils of life? How shall we escape the perils of human relationships? How shall we escape the perils of temptation from sin if we neglect in this our day, in our hour, so great a salvation? So He said, now it's imperative that you pay attention, He said. This word now also means at a point or at this point in a series of events. Did you know the Lord has been gracious to us, man, all down through the ages? God, in times past, in various ways and sundry manners, through prophets and etc., has spoken to man. But now, in this last day, in Hebrews it teaches us, He has spoken to us by His Son. Now is the accepted time. God is looking on you and me with a vehement desire. Oh, how I long for you to embrace who I am. Oh, how I long for you to embrace what I have offered you. Oh, how I long and would gather you and desire to gather you as a hen doth her chicks. Let you and me be very careful that we're not counted in that number that Christ said, but you would not. But let's you and me now in this our day, this our time, in the accepted time, in all the series of events, it's come down now. Christ is risen. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time in all of history for you, for me. So may we this morning consider these little words as soon as possible. There is a difficulty that man has to overcome in himself when it comes to a lot of things, of course, but when it comes to the Lord. Procrastination. We presume on God. I submit to you, sinners, presume on God. I present to you that if we're not careful, we'll presume on God. God is merciful. And who of us today cannot count it wonderful that He is? But God, I believe it was Moses. I'm not sure. It speaks a woe to those who do anything presumptuously. God does not want us to presume on Him. He does not want us to presume that tomorrow I'll be better equipped to be saved. Tomorrow I'll have more information. Tomorrow I'll get a few of these cares of life out of the way. Tomorrow. That's presumptuous of us because we're, first of all, saying God is going to grant me another day. That's presumption. It's also presuming that I'm going to get my ducks in a row tomorrow. You and me know better than that. You and me know that if our ducks are out of order today, tomorrow is just going to throw another duck in there, and there we go. We're still going to have our problems. May the Lord help us. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to quit our procrastination. Now is our day to quit our presuming. Now is our day to drop everything as soon as possible and take care of some things God wants every one of us to enjoy. Sometimes if we're not careful, we might say something you've got to do. No, you don't have to do this morning. But it's something you will enjoy. It will be something you wish you would have done. I wish I would have done much sooner. So we're not saying this is something you have to do. Oh, we could make a case for that. But we're saying this morning there are some things that for your good and my good, for the kingdom of God's sake, for the congregation here's sake, for the very purpose of the gospel's sake, there are some things that we ought to do. And we're just better off for your home's sake. There's some things you just ought to do. For those little children you're cradling, some things you just ought to do to make it better. Children, young people, there's some things you ought to do to be able to understand your parents better. Benefits of the blessings of the Lord. May the Lord help us this morning. Seemed like the Lord impressed me with four fundamental things that we ought to take care of as soon as possible. John, we hear him talk about Jesus saying, being born again. Now, I know this. You probably have heard a number of messages preached on being born again. Listen to what John wrote in the 5th chapter of John. Please, this morning, understand, I have to tell myself this, and I'm sure God would have me say this to us. God has nothing but our good in mind. Brother Philip and I was talking the other day, and he and I have been thinking the same thing, and we finally just happened to say it to each other. Life can handle, this is my words, life can hand us a lot of strange events. And always answers do not come with those events. And sometimes our rug can pull us enough that we're kind of almost topsy-turvy. And we can be shaken immensely. But we were talking and it came to us to say this to one to another, things we'd already believed. But in the absolute overall picture, they're still God. He's still God. And He still knows the way that we take. And He still has inherent good for every one of us. And He'll get us to heaven. That is a fundamental thing we must, if we're going to be successful as Christians, as seekers of God, as seekers of the Holy Ghost. There's a fundamental thing we've got to believe God is, and that God is good. And God is a rewarder, not just a bestower of do's and don'ts, but He is a rewarder for us. So when He speaks to you and me about being born again, don't take it as a cross. Take it as a release of freedom and a joy. Here's what He said in John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, of a truth I say this, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He said in another place in Ephesians, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. One of the things that you and me must come to as soon as possible is all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. And that Jesus Christ came as a lamb, sacrificial, paying the price, shedding His blood for the remission and the washing away of our sins. So now everyone comes to the same place in their life. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And where do we go and what do we do? Now is the day to take advantage of being able to be quickened, made alive again, be raised from the dead. See, Jesus said to you and me, the hour is coming. There's going to come a time when those dead in trespasses and sin are going to hear the voice of the Lord. And then he said in this, and now it is. As soon as possible now, folks, run for your life. This is something we got to take care of. It's something we ought to take care of. A beautiful opportunity this morning. A very simple little thought and a very simple question. Have you taken care right now and today? Are you born again? Jesus went on to say in the third chapter of John, you must be. This now is not an option to seeing the kingdom of heaven, nor entering into the kingdom of heaven. We must enter in and become, as Paul wrote, a new creature. We must drop. We must be washed from committed transgressions. We must confess. We must be born into the kingdom. We don't join. We don't put our name on a roll book. We enter in at the door. Christ is the door, and He washes us in His blood. This morning, very simple question. Have you been born again? There's a song I heard years ago on the radio. You know what I'd do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved. And that was the theme of the whole song. You know what I'd do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved. Lord, help today. This is something we need to take care of as soon as possible. I would ask us each one, who has had a revelation from God lately that told you how long you're going to live? How many of us have read in a book somewhere, book of genealogy perhaps, that said all Dixons or whatever your last name is live for 81 and a half years or any period of time? Who of us today have the promise of the next breath? Who of us today has any promise of life extended beyond right now? You know what we need to do? As soon as possible, we need to be born again. Can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see it, cannot enter it. Something that we must do this morning. Are we putting it off? You've heard this message. You've heard this talk before. You probably could preach it yourself. Think about it. Is it true in my heart? Is it something I've taken care of? Are you still dead this morning? Are there committed sins and you know about it? And God knows, of course. And you do not feel the joy and the peace. And you're struggling. And you're excusing. And you're procrastinating and saying to yourself one of these days, no, today, now, immediately, at this present time, in all the series of events, now is the day of salvation. I'd like to encourage you this morning, as soon as possible, get born again. You can do it where you are. You can do it at an altar. You can do it driving down the road. But you must be. Born again. So as soon as possible, take care of it. And when is it possible? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day you can be relieved of sin. Now is the day you can be forgiven. Now is the day you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Now. Excuse? You don't have one, do you? Neither would I. All we would have is some kind of flimsy, I hate to call it excuse, some kind of flimsy thought. God wants us to enter in and be saved. John wrote in Galatians 6 and 15, for in Christ Jesus, circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't hold the power of regeneration. Nothing else avails but the new creature. Nothing else. As soon as possible, become a new person, a new creation. Be washed in the blood. Let's go on. As soon as possible, you need to be born again. One of the essentials of salvation is repentance. Now, that is so fundamental, you probably think, Brother Stanley, what are you preaching this for? I find repentance is not a human virtue. The Bible speaks about a sorrow according to this world. And all it does is set the stage to fail again. The Bible speaks about a godly sorrow that worketh a repentance not to be repented of again. I find in my dealings with myself and with others and observing life, repentance is not a virtue. It's not a human virtue that we so readily embrace. Because to repent, categorically we've got to say, I was wrong. And that's not easy for people to say. I've learned how to say it better. But you know, when I'm challenged, I have to remember, wait a minute. You could be wrong. Repentance, then, is not something that we should just think, well, you heard it once and you got this message. As soon as possible, you need to repent. Listen to what some scripture said. In Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke, the 24th chapter. In the 46th verse. Thus it is written, Luke 24, 46, and thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. Part of the gospel message, part of something you and me need to hear right up front, and take care of as soon as possible, is the message of repentance. I'm sorry. I have sinned against God. I have done wrong against others. I have profaned the name of the Lord. I have hurt people. I have done those things that are outside of the commandments of the Almighty. Repentance. It's not an optional thing. The minister cannot not preach it. It is something that is categorically a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is part of the essential thing that you and I must do to find rest to our soul. It is something that we will struggle with in our so-called experience unless we have come to a place that we have truly repented in a godly sorrow, in a true knowledge that I have offended God, I have disobeyed God. Over in Mark, the 6th chapter, the command was that repentance should be preached. Let's look here at what Mark said. Mark, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. The Lord sent some folks out. In 12th verse, He said, and they went out and preach that men should repent. We know that the word repentance is more than a weak human saying, I am sorry, I wish I hadn't have done it. Yes, there are many things we wished we had not done. But this is going beyond that. One of the definitions that you can find in the Greek, it's to heartily, when we repent, we heartily begin to amend with an abhorrence of one's past sins. This word abhorrence. That I have sinned, the young man who took his living and wasted his inheritance, he came back with an abhorrence of what he had done. Father, I have sinned. But now, Lord, Father, you know why? No, Father, I have sinned. An abhorrence of what sin had done to him. An abhorrence to what sin had made him become the man he was. An abhorrence to what sin had pulled him to choose a lifestyle. The waste that sin had put in his life. The things that he defiled himself with, that sin had required of him. An abhorrence. Oh! And I can't explain it, I know. But an abhorrence of what happened to me because I allowed sin to reign. Abhor what happened. I abhor what it did to me. I abhor the man I became, the lies I told, the people I hurt, the husband I was, the person I became. Oh, that was deplorable and I hated it. I'm so sorry for it. Father, forgive me. I repent of my wrong. That is part of the gospel message. As soon as possible, repent. If you haven't done that as soon as possible, and when? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now has the events unfolded where we can truly be born again through repentance, through the blood, and we can become a new creature. Truly repent as soon as possible. Because you don't want to presume on this thing. You don't want to presume on God. In Acts, I want to read there a moment, the third chapter. And the 19th verse. Acts 3 and 19. This was more the ministry of the apostles and their message, I believe, to some folks that have been treating them a little less than good. Repent ye therefore and be converted as a way for my sins to be blotted out. The way, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We could go into various thoughts here, but I want to pick up on something. When the time of refreshing shall come. I know that we could get into some theological thoughts here, but I want to use it this way. God wants to refresh you as soon as possible. God wants to make you new as soon as possible. You know, God's not saying, well, I'm going to get with Him and 2 hours and 19 minutes. I'll put him on my calendar and hope nothing happens to him before. God is right now interested in our welfare. He wants to refresh us right now. And the very message of salvation is repent. Have you done that? Have you done it in a manner called godly sorrow? He said here, repent and be converted. The word converted means to turn to something. Well, in turning to something, it's obvious what do we have to do? We've got to turn away from something else. So what are we talking about when we say be converted? Our repentance, we're renouncing the hidden things of darkness, sin. Our wrong. Our way of thinking. Our actions. Our deeds. And we're turning to Jesus Christ. We're turning to a new man, a new creature, born again. And we can't get that way till we repent of this. The old man and the old man's ways. No justification, I did it. No justification, I'm guilty. There's no penance I can pay. I could say Hail Mary forever. I'm still guilty. I can count my beads and walk up and down and beat myself and I'm still guilty. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus repentance, and then we can turn. We do not turn with our sin, we turn from our sin. May God help us. I know this is, Lord help us today. It means to turn to and in process turning away from, but it means to turn to the worship of the true God. It means to turn to the love and to obedience to God. And folks, there's where we find life. There's where everything is beautiful. There's where the air is pure ethereal. It's true. Though we have problems and beset by situations, we're more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. I want to read in Acts, the second chapter. Folks got a little bit pricked in their hearts here. And the second chapter of Acts, in the 37th verse. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? We want help right now. What do we do? Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized. Right now. Don't go home. Don't go take a bath, clean up, and come back. Right now. As soon as possible. Your clothes may be mix-matched. Right now, as soon as possible. This is your soul. This is your life. This is your eternity. This is your home. This is your happiness. This is the things you crave and need and want. Right now, take care of it. Don't put it off. Please, young man, young lady, children, if you're old enough to understand, don't put this thing off. Right now is the day of salvation. Repent. Be converted. What shall we do? May the Lord help you and me to understand this. There are some things that just have to be taken care of as soon as possible. Third thought the Lord presented me with, and kind of stay with me because I don't want you to think I'm Church of Christ, but it's baptism. It's baptism. I think if we If there's a place that we need to emphasize more in the Bible, I would like to consider this thought. Baptism. As soon as possible. What was the command? What was the thought? Repent and be baptized. Think about that a moment. The Lord gave specific instructions concerning my salvation and yours and what was needful. What was one of the ordinances, if you will, or one of the rituals, if you will, what is something Christ said was necessary to fulfill all of righteousness? And that was to be baptized. Now, I'll preempt myself here. Interrupt myself and say, no, there's no saving grace in baptism. So, let's clear that up. But it is something that Jesus Christ Himself required of Himself in spite of the fact, John said, I ought to have need to be baptized of you. Well, of course that was true. But no, the Lord did not take that excuse. He did not say, well, you know, you're right and we can put this off. No, He said, it is needful, necessary, it is expedient. It behooves you and me, John, to fulfill everything God has in mind. And the message of the apostles was, repent and be baptized. Let's read what Jesus said. In Matthew, the 28th chapter. Jesus' words was this, in the 19th verse. Go ye therefore into all the world, all the nations, excuse me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, And what was one of the things he said? Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This morning, as soon as possible, take care of that. As soon as possible, drop your excuse. It's cold weather. Am I getting my hair wet? You will get your hair wet. Drop the excuse, well, I'm the only one. Drop the excuse, well, they're going to do it more next week. I submit to us this morning, as soon as possible, we ought to be baptized. I'm not going to go into all the doctrine behind it. We'll touch on it briefly. But the bottom line was that you and me, as soon as we're converted, ought to be baptized. It is something that the Lord requires, something God expects. It is one of the very first steps that we should take care of. This word, or one man wrote this, concerning baptizing them, what Christ just said. He said it became or is an emblem of the purifying influence of Christ through the Holy Spirit and solemn devotion to God. A testimony. I am free. The Lord hath saved me. I have been washed in His blood. I have been saved by His grace and His love to me. It is a very real emblem of what has happened in obedience to you or me following the Lord. Over in Acts, the 8th chapter, the 35th and the 37th verse. Philip was going down and he caught up with the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian was reading Isaiah. Philip said, you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I understand this if no one instructs me? And Philip began at the beginning, I believe it said, and he preached to him Jesus. Do you remember that? He preached to him Jesus. And I find it so remarkable what the Ethiopian said when it was all over with. You remember what he said? He didn't say hallelujah. At least I don't know that he did. He didn't go out there and hug his horse. He said, look, there's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? You know what I think? It doesn't say this, but I believe this. In preaching of Jesus, Philip preached repentance and baptism. Now, there's a case of a guy doing it as soon as possible. You know, here we're going down the road in our chariot, and Philip's up here just talking and expounding, and the guy's repented evidently. The man is very happy, something really wonderful he understands. And, oh, I've heard about Jesus from the beginning right down to now. And look, there's an oasis over there. I can see him, whoa. You and me need to say whoa to ourselves and yes to Jesus. Consider that. And the Lord give us understanding. The man stopped the chariot, I see, and said, there's water. What doth hinder me? Salvation didn't come that way. Philip said, if you believe. And he said, I believe. The point is, as soon as possible, there's a grace that goes with it. The grace of obedience. The grace of a public confession. The grace of I have followed the Lord. The grace that I totally submitted myself publicly to the love of God, and I am dead to sin, and I come forth out of that watery grave as symbolic as alive unto God, and I will go and walk in newness of life. There's a grace in that, folks. There's a strength in that. And we lose that if we don't take care of it as soon as possible. This would be amiss probably if we didn't read 1 Peter, because it gives teachings on baptism, lest we be misunderstood. In 1 Peter 3 and 21, 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Then in parentheses, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I think that probably signifies as closely the essence of baptism, the answer, the response of a good conscience. A willingness to comply. A willingness to fulfill. A willingness to pay. A willingness to satisfy. It's an act in return of significance of what the Lord has done in my heart, in my life. It is the answer. It is the performance of what the Lord intended. It is an answer, or it is my compliance with the Word of God. Repent, repent, and be baptized as soon as possible. These are things we find are not something the Lord said even grow into. He said do it. Lastly, and we will try to observe your time and mine, one of the things that we need to do as soon as possible. Paul asked in the 19th chapter of Ephesians, the second verse to the Ephesians, he was there with 19th chapter of Acts, the second verse, he asked the Ephesians, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Jesus told the disciples and Mary and the others, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He did not anywhere specify that the Holy Ghost was something that was to come eventually. He said, I go and send the promise of my Father back to you. It's expedient that I go away. If I don't, then the Holy Spirit, whom I will send in my name, will not come. They tarried in Jerusalem until they were given the Holy Ghost. Paul said immediately, it seems like, if you read that in Acts, the 19th chapter, maybe he shook hands with them, bowed, kissed a few of them on the cheek. I don't know what all went on, but immediately he said, have you received the Holy Spirit? It was a part of the message that they preached and they taught today as soon as possible. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Jesus, in one place to his disciples, he breathed on them. Said, receive ye the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Sometimes this is a place we put off right along with baptism. We put it off to the degree that our sensitivity and our love and our enthusiasm wanes. We're tempted and we're struggling, we disappoint ourselves, and then we get to questioning the whole plan. The Lord wants you and me to have this authority in our life. He doesn't want you and me to have to struggle. Can you do it? The sister said today, of course you can't do it. No, we can't do it. We must have the Holy Ghost. And how many times, how many opportunities do we let pass because of an excuse or erroneous thinking? May the Lord help you and me today to receive the Holy Ghost. These are teachings that are so fundamental. We've heard them all our life, but how many of us today have taken care of just those four? The Bible speaks about going on to perfection. You know what that's saying to me? Take care of the things that come first. If we're going to go on, that's just to me saying, take care of what you need to take care of. The writer of Hebrews said that you know, you've come to a place that you ought to be teachers. Still have need that someone teach you the very rudiments, the elements, the fundamentals. To me, he's saying, you should have, as soon as possible, took care of what needed to be taken care of. And I want to tell you again, when we take care as soon as possible, what a relief. What a joy. What a fulfillment. Ask you this. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of us have ever had a job we know we needed to do and absolutely didn't want to do it, folks? It because of the amount of effort and the task and et cetera, et cetera. My wife and her sister and some others are battling or tackling a task out in Oregon right now. It's been put off. And it's cleaning out a garage with an accumulation of things. But, you know, I talked to her, I believe it was the night before last, and she said, the west half of the garage, it looks so good. Have you ever noticed the joy and the sigh of relief when you take care of that job you've been putting off? Oh, isn't it wonderful? And Jesus said, and you shall find rest to your soul. That's what being born again is to give us. That's what repentance is to bring us. That's what baptism in its part is to bring us. And that is what the Holy Ghost is meant to give us. Rest to our soul. Rest in your home, on the job. Between and in the gray matter. This thing up here that, we struggle with. Right here. Rest to our soul. If any man thirst, Jesus said, let him come unto me. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost that was not yet given. But now is the day of salvation. Now the Holy Spirit has been sent back with the commission. Go and flood my earthen temple with glory from the throne. Go and pour out my essence upon them. Inhabit them, rule in them, bless them, lead them, protect them, feed them, nourish them. Lead them into pastures green. Protect them in all their endeavors. Be their guide right up unto death. Go and bless my people. Yes, thank the Lord. Take care of that right now. See, that's what God is saying. I know we don't read that exactly in the Word, but I differ with you if you say God's not saying that. Go and bless my people. Go into their hearts, into their minds, and heal their diseases, heal their hurts, heal their emotions. Heal their prejudices. Heal them. Bless them. And you'll find rest to your soul. May the Lord help us today. As soon as possible, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Don't make it a year, months, years long search. Yes, there are some qualifications, but folks, don't overqualify. God wants to give us the Holy Ghost. These four things I have said once or maybe twice, these four little things, but they're not little, and forgive me for saying that. They are major things. They are the essence and the fundamentals of God. They are a demonstration of His love, of His hope that He has for us. So this morning, as soon as possible, endeavor to take care of what God has shown you and shown us through His Word. You pray for me.